Today's December 2nd, 2022. Current Bitcoin price is $17,020.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
Happy Friday, Rick.
Oh, it's good to be Friday.
Yeah, thank God. And this year's almost done. Good riddance.
Just wait till next year.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious. You know, the only thing that gives me any type of hope, which, I mean, it depends on how it goes, right? Like, we've got the halving is going to be in 2024, right?
Right.
So if Bitcoin is going to do its thing, normally we should recovery by about a year from now. We should start to see it starting to tick up.
I agree. You know what? We almost need to also do a countdown to the halving on our intro.
Yeah.
This is going to be May 2024, right? I mean, the exact date's not known, but the protocol
general time frame. Yeah. Like, I mean, we should be, it'll be close to that. Like, it's not going to be, it wouldn't be like months in advance. I mean, they talked about that. Remember we were talking about that with the hash rate?
Yeah.
How they're like, oh man, the hash rate's so high that it may push up the halving by like decades or not decades, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, no, that's what the difficulty mechanism's in there for.
Yep, the adjustment.
Yeah, that's why it's there. Like, it's, I don't know. I mean, yes, it can change the exact date, but it's not going to change it by, I wouldn't assume by months by any means. So yeah, we're almost done with this year. We're still waiting on, I think, CPI numbers to come out, right?
Right.
And we're still waiting on whatever the Fed is going to do with their rate hike.
Yep. But we did get the job reports.
We did, yes. We did get November job reports. And it's funny because according to the report, this is for November. It's saying we added 263,000 jobs. But how many reports have you seen about layoffs?
Well, I mean, what kind of jobs are we adding? We're adding some minimum wage jobs at McDonald's?
That's the question. I mean, but even that I would doubt because more and more McDonald's seem like they're going to more and more automation.
Exactly. Well, I'm just saying if it's like waiters and servers and stuff like that, I mean, how much do those jobs count? Because I know that Facebook cut 11% of their staff and those people were paid pretty well.
Yeah. No, they were.
So I have a friend who survived the cuts, but he was a little bit scared for a second.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, our guy, our liaison with Facebook, he survived it, but I mean, he was a contract worker. He wasn't, you know, he's not technically on their staffing. So it's cheaper for them to keep contract workers than staff, regular staff, right? Because they don't have to pay any of their insurance or any of their benefits or anything like that.
Yeah, they don't pay the insurance, the benefits, probably even the Social Security.
Yeah, that's all taken care of by your main corporation that you actually work for rather than the subcontract or who, you know, basically whoever owns you.
Yeah, the subcontracting company handles that crap.
Yep. You know, and the funny thing is they keep on talking about, like, we've talked about this before, like Jerome Powell has blood, like, and I don't think the guy means it, but I mean, he's like, he's talked about how no matter what the costs are, you know, we're going to fight inflation until it's done. So basically he's talking about like people losing their jobs.
Saying he has some bloodlust going on.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you know, he wants to see real pain, and that's what real pain in the economy is, right? People being broke, people being completely decimated, losing their jobs, losing their livelihoods. And we're not seeing that as of yet. I mean, I still don't know if 263,000 jobs is great, but I mean, that may have been better than what they were expecting. And then the unemployment rate, and I still wonder about this one too. We had the unemployment rate go up to, 14%, 14.8% in April of 2020. As you recall during that whole horrible time. And that's hard to believe that's been almost 2 years ago now. Or it has been 2 years ago.
Yep.
And now we are down to 3.7. But that's not actively like true either, because we have like, so what they're showing is that we have unemployment numbers that are similar to what they were pre-pandemic.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. To me, it feels, everything feels worse than before the pandemic, but I don't know. It, you know, if that's just my experience, I can't say that's exactly what's going on in the rest of the world.
No, but I can't. Go ahead.
Times just feel tougher for, in general. Like,
well, and everything still is costing more, right? Like, that hasn't been settled. I mean, even though they're like, oh, well, yes, inflation is down 7.7, down to 7.7, you know, I mean, it's still basically four times what they want it to be or whatever the case may be.
Yep.
So that's still not, that doesn't bode well. And I mean, and I think you brought up a good point. What type of wages are we looking at? Because a lot of places are hiring part-time jobs. And it goes back to what we were talking about before, where they don't have to carry the insurance. They don't have to be responsible for any benefits or anything like that. Because most jobs, if you're working part-time, you don't get any of those benefits.
Yep.
It's not until you become a full-time employee that those types of things kick in. They're also saying that I think overall pay is up 5.1% from a year ago. And the average, this is a crazy statistic. The hourly average wage that people are getting paid an hour, do you know what it is currently?
I do not.
Take a guess. This is across the board, hourly average.
Say somewhere around $20, something like that.
$32.82.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's actually a lot higher than I was expecting.
Yeah, it is. Which is kind of, it's interesting, right? Like, $32.82, if that's the average wage in the United States, I mean, average wage, right? Like, I mean, you got to take all income brackets. Like, that's got to include Jeff Bezos, I'd imagine, in there, right?
Yeah. And how much does he earn a second?
What was it we were talking about there? He makes $2,537 per second. That was in 2021 when he was still CEO, I'm sure. He's probably lost $100 or so.
It's only 2,000, you know, in 2022.
Yeah, in 2022, okay. It's only 2,000, but with inflation, it's probably more like 5. Because, and that's the thing is, I mean, when you look at that, like when you look at revenue, right? Like I know even my company where I work, the branch that I ran, one of them, one of the three that I oversaw, their profit revenue for the year was 121%.
Wow.
Yeah. And then another one of my branches that I oversaw was 191%.
Jeez.
Like, but a lot of that, when I look at that, and I don't know if I've told you this or not, when I look at that and then I look at year over year transaction count to see, like, is it just that we're so much busier? No. The transaction count is pretty close, maybe within 100 transactions, right? So what does that tell you?
Profitability's gone up.
Yeah, I mean, just everything at the prices has gone through the roof.
I believe that. Well, you know, we were talking about, you know, the jobs report going back in. The one thing I do remember is, like, from 2000 to 2008, before that that recession, mm-hmm. like there was millions of jobs that were $50,000 a year plus that were wiped out and have never come back.
Yeah.
And a lot of the times they're talking about job reports. So let's say, you know, you're working a full-time job and let's say you're just making 50 grand a year and then you lose that job and then you pick up two jobs and you're getting paid, you're doing two part-time jobs, 20 grand each. So you're actually doing less, but technically they've added more jobs to the market.
Right. Yeah. And that's, I think that goes back to what you were saying. Like, what type of jobs are they talking about here?
Exactly.
I mean, cause we're becoming, and I hate to say this as a society, but my wife's a teacher, so I will. We're dumbing down the children in the educational system.
Yep. And it's your wife's fault. Sorry, Melissa.
I tell her that all the time. I'm like, this is all your fault. I done told you twice, and now she walks around with two black eyes. No. The fact that kids cannot get below a 50% in school.
Like, it's physically impossible?
It's physically impossible.
Even if they never do anything or even show up?
Even if they never do anything or even show up. I mean, maybe if they don't show up, maybe they just get expelled. But I probably doubt that. Like, I mean, you could just, like, not pick your nose in class, and I'm guessing you'd probably get a 60, right? You'll get the passing grade.
I mean, sweet.
Barely passing, but you'll get a passing grade.
Wow. Yeah, I'm glad my kids are in public schools.
Yeah. It's so unnerving. Like, and she's like, I don't get it. And I'm like, well, they're trying to dumb down the population. Dumb workers are good producers. Let's be honest, right? Like, when you look at it from an economic standpoint, if you're not questioning anything and you're just pick things up and put them down, you may not be the most efficient, but you will produce.
Yep.
So that's kind of unnerving. And maybe I'm way off base. Maybe I'm just way too Orwellian on that whole thing.
Our school model was borrowed from the Prussian school model, which is like Germany before it was Germany. And that's their whole model was they didn't want to make their students too smart. They wanted them just smart enough to be useful, but compliant enough where they'd follow orders.
Yeah.
And that's actually, they called it schooling, or that was the school. And that's basically what we've had in America for 100 years. And, you know, this is the result of it. This is not a bug. This is a feature.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. According to chief economist at the Economic Innovation Group, it's a nonpartisan business organization. He says, we're obviously in a moment of tremendous risk in the economy right now. You can't rule out a recession, but the economy seems to be rebalancing towards sustainable growth, which I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't know about that either. But I was listening to an economist talk about how robust our economy really is. Like, when you look at it, the big picture, even with all these, you know, stifling regulations and government overreach and high taxes and all this other crap, we still have a lot of innovation. We have a lot of things. So things, I mean, we really have it good today.
We totally do. I mean, and you and I talked about this not too long ago on the podcast where we were talking about interest rates on home purchases, right?
Right.
And we're actually just kind of getting back to what it was before the crash of 2008.
Right.
You know, we're kind of in that more, and I don't want to say realistic, but maybe it is a more realistic interest rate for homes and those types of things. And what's going to happen is it's going to stop these pie in the sky prices on homes, right? They're going to start to plummet, but it should bring it back to some semblance of reality. If that makes sense.
Well, here's the hope, at least for younger people trying to get into the housing market, right?
Yeah. I mean, they'll have to pay through the nose on interest rates, but
but maybe they don't have to have as nearly as big of a down payment. And maybe if they pay extra with a higher interest rate, they have a lower overall debt.
Yeah.
You know, because when your interest rate gets so low, you can just start throwing money at it to where, you know, a several hundred thousand dollar loan does at, you know, 1% interest. I mean, the payments.
What the heck? I'm just going to do it.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas if you have to pay 10% interest on something or something even remotely close to that, that kind of reins the asking price up front back in.
Tempers your reality, right, on the whole thing. Yeah, right. No, and that's true. Coming on off, well, and this is before the jobs report came out, Jerome Powell came out, and he started talking very dovishly about interest rate hikes. I want to say last podcast we talked about, we did say that there would be an interest rate hike in December, right?
Yep.
Did we predict it was going to be like half a basis point?
Yes, that's what we were saying.
Okay, yeah.
We thought he was going to start tapering it.
Yeah, and it's definitely like he's not saying he's not going to raise interest rates, but he's basically promoting the idea that he needs to start to taper it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. You know, I wonder if this is the pivot point where they start, you know, depending on what happens, they're going to start, you know, they're building it up to where they can start cutting again.
They could. I mean, even a half a basis point raise at this point, I mean, and I still don't know exactly where they're at on a 30-year note, but we've got to be close to like 6.5%, 7%, right? Depending on, you know, if you got good credit. So, I mean, a half basis point rise, I mean, you're probably going to see like 7.5%, which, I mean, realistically, that may be where we need to be. I think we've lived a really long time in
basically La La Land, no interest.
Yeah, in like this fake world where interest wasn't a thing, or they were just like, we can print money so easily.
And maybe Europe experienced negative interest for a little bit.
Yeah, they did it for a few years, didn't they? And then they finally have reversed that.
Yeah.
Which has been the opposite of what I thought. That was
impossible.
Yeah, we thought it was, because we talked about it on the podcast. We had said that we were probably going to go to negative interest rates.
Yep.
And we have gone totally in the opposite direction of that. And yeah, I think it was on this podcast. I mean, not necessarily, I mean, this episode, but I mean, it would have been early on. Actually, because I think we've been doing this about a year. I think we just had a 1-year anniversary last week.
Happy anniversary to us.
Happy anniversary to us. We have survived the longest second longest bear market in Bitcoin's history, according to somebody somewhere.
Yeah, our timing on starting this podcast was fan-freaking-tastic, let me tell you.
Yes, it was. We started right when Bitcoin was at 69,000. Nice.
Yep, right at the peak, and, you know, if we listen to the European Central Bank, it's basically over.
Yeah. The European Central Bank talked about how Bitcoin has no value and that it didn't work as a payment system and that it's on its last leg and its last gasp, which is funny because, I mean, now Bitcoin has continued to operate exactly as Bitcoin is intended to operate now for, I think we're on 12 years now. Is that where we're at?
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll have to see. I'm curious what the CPI numbers are going to come out like again. I want to see what that is, because if we're at 7.7, if we drop down to 7.5, 7.4, I don't know. Let's see. Is there predictions out there yet for November?
I don't know, but I got to just address the elephant in the room when it comes to the job reports and interest rates and all this other crap. I just don't believe anything.
No. Well,
everything just doesn't feel right.
You can fluff the numbers any way you want to, right?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. You can totally massage things to make it work. Especially if you have a political axe to grind or just any axe to grind where you want to show something, you can make it happen. So I'm just putting that out there. Everything feels off. I don't trust any of the numbers, but let's just move forward saying that they are correct.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't trust it either. I mean, the fact that they had to give a new definition to what a recession was, it kind of speaks volumes to me.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to see just what that prediction is. So they're expecting, it looks like, to be a 7.2 is the prediction for November. So I'm curious if it'll hit even close to that or not.
Even not sure. Close. Well, you know, the thing, though, is OPEC was talking about cutting production And energy prices haven't really spiked as much as they I thought they would. Maybe it's because we're still eating to our strategic reserve. But
it could be. But I mean, like, when you look at the gas prices around here, we are nowhere close to what the rest of the state's doing.
No.
I want to say down in the southern part of the metro area, down in Albuquerque, you're looking at around almost 280, 290. Wow. We're almost a whole dollar higher than what they are. Cuba's 350 or 340 or something like that. Wow. That's just insane to me. I don't understand that. We didn't vote the right way, I guess.
That's exactly what it is.
Did you have anything else you wanted to add this evening?
Nope, just kind of curious to see how things are going. I mean, everything just seems like fragile.
Oh, it is. Like, we are, we've got to be on eggshells right now. Like, it's just going to be one really bad thing could set it all into turmoil, right? I mean, and maybe it's already on the way there. Maybe we are kind of like Wile E. Coyote when he had run off the cliff, right? He's still going straight and steady, but he ain't looked down yet. Scary times. I did buy some more Bitcoin this week. Not financial advice.
Nice.
Not a whole lot more, but I was like, well, I've been kind of waiting on the side. I you know, and I still don't know. I still don't know if we're going up or down. So we didn't close.
I guess it's
go ahead.
Probably down for a little bit.
Yeah, I don't. We've been trading so sideways for so long. Well, that's not true, because we went from 21,000 down to like 15,000, and now we're at 16,000. Now we're at 17,000. But it's just been the exact opposite every time of what I think is going to happen. I think even the day when I bought, it was up at like 17.5, and then it went down to 16-something. So I was like, whatever. I'm used to this game. Whenever I buy, the market drops. So that's just how it works.
Murphy's Law.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll let y'all know when I'm buying, and then you guys can just buy like 20 minutes later, and you'll probably get it cheaper than what I buy for.
So. Wait one more day.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. We'll reconvene again here pretty soon. Hopefully we'll get some CPI numbers this next week. We'll take a look at that.
And then you fully transitioned, detransitioned, I don't know.
I fully transitioned. Sort of. I'm still working out the home office scenario. I had one idea in mind, and the way that I want to do my work for my work does not coincide with what I want to do for our stuff. So I'm going to have to make some switches. I realized that today, but it's a work in progress, and I've got a plan, so we're getting there.
Sweet.
Hopefully this weekend I can get a lot of different things uploaded and done. So cool, man. Well, I hope you have a great weekend, and I hope everybody listening has a great weekend.
Absolutely. Take it easy, guys.
Yeah, enjoy time with family. We'll talk to you later.